Amen. Well, good morning to all who are part of the family here at Reach Out, and also welcome to any visitors. I want you to feel welcome here in this house of the Lord. You know, there's lots of other houses, lots of other churches around the world meeting, but I'm glad that you took the time to come here today, and for those watching online as well. You know, I take a lot of time during the week to pray and prepare, but there are times where God intervenes. How many people have had God intervene in their lives? And there was a scripture that kept floating, kept just hitting me over and over again. And it's not a scripture I had memorized. I must have read it somewhere along the way. Obviously, I read the Bible, but it wasn't one that I specifically worked on. And it talked about the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's all I could remember. So I had to Google it to actually find it, because I had like no idea where this thing was. So I found out that it's in Psalms 27, verse 13. And it says this, that this is the confidence that I have, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Other versions say this, and I looked this up to pursue it a little bit. And it talks about this, that I would have grown faint-hearted if I hadn't believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So what does that really mean, and how does it fit for today, the triumphal entry? Well, I think of Jesus, and I think Veronica mentioned it in the announcements. Here's Jesus going to be riding into Jerusalem. He knows what's going to happen in a few short days, right? But he wanted to bring his goodness to us so that we could have all the benefits of it. And so we are called today to still see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Listen, if we interviewed any and every Christian and we asked the question, is God good? You know, most people would say yes. Most believers would say yes. And then if you said, well, is there goodness in heaven? Everyone would say yes. Amen. Yes, everything's going to be good. Every tear wiped away. Everything's going to be great in heaven. But then if I asked the next question and said, but is God good here? Not everyone, listen to me, not everyone would be as excited about that. They'd be like, well, look, I got trials, I got stuff going on. You know, I don't sense the goodness of God right now. I don't see the goodness of God. Here's the thing. You might not see the goodness of God in whatever you're going through, but maybe you won't ever see that. Here's the thing. You need to see Jesus and his goodness in the midst of whatever you're going through. You hear what I'm saying? In other words, that you're not focused on whatever's going on. You know, oh me, oh my. I get it. How many people have had some bad stuff happen in their lives? Okay. Yeah, we all have. Some of you are going through some stuff right now. And here's the thing. It's not good. You can't slap good on it. It's bad. But here's the thing. Can you see the goodness of God through that? That's the question. In other words, where are your eyes fixated on? You know, Jesus, the author and Savior, the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Do you think he was like all happy about being nailed to a cross? Just bring it on. Yeah. No, he had a human body. It hurt. It was horrible what he went through. Yet he had joy. Why? He wasn't thinking of the joy of the cross. He was thinking of the joy of saving you and I. That's what he was thinking of. And the thing is, that needs to be our thinking too. We've got to get beyond whatever's going on and see Jesus in the midst of it and believe that he has a solution, that his goodness will do something in and through it. In fact, I'm going to say something. Some of the most mature Christians I know are people who've gone through the most difficult trials and tribulations you could imagine. Why? It's not because of all that. It's because as they went through it, they leaned on Jesus and they grew in their relationship with him and they matured in him, come through the other side and were better for it. So I'm not here to tell you, go through as many horrible things as you can. I encourage you, avoid as many horrible things as you can. In other words, make good decisions. Do the best, your part. But listen, there are times where we are called to go through some difficult times that are no fault of our own. And to say, okay, I'm going to go through this, but I'm not going to look at this. I'm going to look to Jesus. And are you willing to do that? It's hard. You just got to the Bible says, lift up your eyes and see where your salvation comes from. And so here's the thing. Sometimes we just got to kind of lift up our eyes off the surface of the earth, so to speak, over all whatever's going on, and lift up just past the horizon and see Jesus. High and lifted up. Amen. He's the one that we need to fix our eyes on. And to call out to him. Look at you. Is anyone here going through some difficulties right now? I'm not here to embarrass. Okay, feel ya. Okay, here's the thing. You need to actively be crying out the name of Jesus on a regular basis. Listen, you get in your car and nobody's there. Instead of turning on the radio or doing what you normally do, say, Jesus, I need help. And start talking to him about it, all right? Out loud. You know, stop the little milly little prayers on the inside. There are times you have to do that when you're around people. But when you're by yourself, talk. Listen, how I'm talking to you, this is how I talk to Jesus. I'm like, Jesus, I need your help here today. You didn't hear me, but I was praying in the seats. Jesus, if you don't show up today, this is going to be a mess. You know, help me. That was out loud to him, all right? So my point is, I believe in what I'm saying to you. Speak out loud. Plus, it's like this weird thing. When you hear yourself with your own ears, you know that God has heard you in heaven. There's something about that. So maybe you're one of those people, no, I just pray quiet and everything. Listen, you need to get loud for Jesus. You just need to open your mouth and begin to speak to him as he's standing right here. In fact, the Bible says that wherever two or three are gathered, he is in our midst. His presence is here right now. Amen. He's with you. He lives in your heart. You need to speak out to him. Amen. Anyway, all that's free. I wasn't planning on talking about all that. But I want to talk about the triumphal entry. And here's the theme. The title is When Jesus Rides In. So we're going to look at this at multiple levels. The first level is this. We're going to look at the scriptures of how Jesus rode into Jerusalem. He physically got on a donkey and he physically rode into Jerusalem and the things that happened. But I want you to be in the back of your mind, be thinking as well, what about when Jesus rides into my life? And so you're going to see it on multiple levels. We're going to go back and forth between that. So that's the theme for today. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to be reading New King James Version for this portion. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. And this is the triumphal entry. All right? So Matthew 21, beginning at verse 1. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, all at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Verse 6. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they laid their clothes on them, and they set him, Jesus, on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. So this is the account, you know, of him physically riding into Jerusalem. But here's the thing. We need to take a few moments and talk about some context. First of all, Jesus was about 33 and a half years old at this time. So he had lived for about 30 years at the start of his life. Then at 30 years old, roughly, he began his public ministry. So for 3.5 years, he preached the gospel, he healed, he restored, he did all kinds of signs and wonders. And as part of those signs and wonders, he actually brings three different people back from the dead. He brings a little 12-year-old girl back from the dead. Okay, that's one. The widow of Nain's son, her only son, brings him back from the dead. And then just a couple days before this event happens, Jesus brings another individual back. Does anyone know who that one is? Lazarus. And so that is, in a sense, the context of this whole thing, because a few days, about 5 days before Jesus rides in, he's in a different town, and he gets noticed that Lazarus is sick. And so, and Jesus says, well, he's going to sleep. And the disciples say to him, well, that's good, he's going to sleep. He'll get better then, you know. It's like, you know, for most of us, you have a fever, whatever, if you can sleep, you'll get better. And here's Jesus, he's pretty blunt. He says, he's going to die. And then he says, for your sakes, it's good I wasn't there. That seems a bit rough, doesn't it? You know, but here's the thing, isn't hindsight 20/20? You know, we can look back and we can see why Jesus did that, because then he could bring him back from the dead. So Jesus goes, and the shortest verse in the Bible is in this account. It's in John 11, verse 35. Anybody know from Bible trivia, what's the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. And so he wasn't weeping because he couldn't do anything. He was weeping with compassion for the others that were hurting so much because Lazarus had passed away. And so at that point, they get to where the tomb is, where Lazarus is in there, and Jesus says, roll away the stone, and they're like, hey, he's going to really smell bad. It's been 4 days. You know, we really don't want to. He says, just roll the stone away. And the Bible says that he said, Lazarus, come out. Now, imagine if he just said, come out. Think of all the tombs. But, you know, you had people banging on the rocks. Hey, let me out of here. I don't know, but I think he had to be very specific to say, hey, it's just you, Lazarus. You're the only one that gets to come back from the dead. So he comes out, and Jesus says, hey, unbind him. You know, take all the bandages that were wrapped all around him and let him go. Now, as a side note, that's one thing that Jesus wants to do in your life. First of all, he's not afraid to let things die in your life. Sometimes things have to die before they can be resurrected. Why? So it's not you, but it's him. In other words, you know that when that thing comes back from the dead, you know that he resurrected it, and it's all him, and all the glory goes to him. So there are times in our lives where, you know, visions and purposes and dreams and different things in our lives have to die so that they can be resurrected. Now, that's just a freebie, a side note to this, but just important to know, Jesus' timing is impeccable. Jesus was not 4 days late. He was actually 4 days on time. And he's the same for you. When he's dealing with stuff in your life, he is perfectly on time. The question is, though, are you ready for when he rides in? See, I think sometimes we're ignorant. We don't realize he's coming through. He's coming by. You know, and we need to see him, acknowledge him, and then he can help us through our circumstances. So, He says to his disciples, get a donkey, and specifically a donkey and its young one, all right? And then we know he gets on the young one, and he rides that into Jerusalem. So here's another side note. That was somebody's ride. You get what I'm saying? That was somebody's car. You know, we want to modernize it. And basically, Jesus was taking that car. So imagine if somebody came out of the church parking lot and said, hey, I have need of your car. Would you, here you go, and let them drive away? You might have some second thoughts about that, right? And so here's Jesus specifically saying, look, if anybody asks, it's okay, right? You know, tell them I have need of it. And in one of the other accounts, because here's the thing, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem is talked about four times. We're reading from the Matthew account, but it's in Luke, you know, it's in Mark, and it's in John as well. And we have different emphasis, different parts of it. And in one of the other Gospels, the person who owned the donkey said, hey, what are you doing? And they said, the Lord has need of it. And it says, and he let them take them. So here's a question for you. Again, we're going from historical event to right now. Would you lend your ride if God asked you to for somebody? Would you bring that person to church that maybe needs a ride to church? Would you feed that person that's in need around you? In other words, are you willing to give whatever you have to help those around you? Because, you know, here, we for a minute, we're talking about a donkey. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about a car in modern times. Are you willing to take what God has given you and bless others with it, whatever that might be? You see, in this short lifespan that we all spend on this earth, it's really sad that there are wars and rumors of wars going on so that people can attain to land or power or prestige in some way for just a short period of time. And you know what the joke of the matter is? It's not theirs anyways. They may grab that land and grab that power or grab that position, but you know what? It all belongs to the Lord. Amen. All of it. All of it. And so are we willing in our lives with the resources God has entrusted us with as stewards of his resources, be willing to loan it out if necessary or give it away if necessary, if God asks us to? See, when Jesus rides into our lives and we accept him as what? Our Savior. So he's saved. And what's the other part? And Lord. You know what that means? Master. It means the one who rules over us. It means the one that calls the shots. It means he's the boss and you're not. You know, and so now if he all of a sudden says, look it, you have this, you can't say, well, Jesus, that's mine. Because he's going to say, no, it's not. You're mine and it's mine. Because that's how it works. That's what it means. Now, here's the cool part. He watches over you and your stuff that isn't yours anyways. And so the point is, when you realize it's all his, it's a much easier way to live life. You're not worried about guarding your stuff because it's not your stuff to guard. There's big old angels guarding it because it belongs to the Lord. And you've been entrusted with it. You hear where I'm going with this? This is just so important. So when he rides into your life, do you realize, you need to realize he is the king. And the people there, didn't they shout that out? Hosanna. Now here's the thing. They thought at that time that he was coming to save them from the Romans. See, that word Hosanna actually means come save us. And in fact, it actually can mean come save us now. Now, during that time in history, the Romans were occupying Israel. So there literally was a foreign nation. It'd be like if North Korea came and invaded the United States. All right? That's how bad it would be. You get what I'm saying? That's what it would be like. And yet, Jesus, when he walked on the earth for those 33 and a half years, he didn't really even mention the Romans as far as being in a negative connotation. In fact, he healed some of them. He ministered to them as humans, as people. And you and I need to have that same attitude towards all of those around us. Now, they thought that Jesus was going to ride in and flick his little pinky, kill all the Romans, right? And then sit on the throne and rule and reign openly. I got news for you. That will happen one day. That is going to happen. But at that point in time, he was coming into Jerusalem to rule and reign in people's hearts. That's what he came to do. He came to save people spiritually. And my hope is that every person here knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Because that's the most important thing that Jesus wants to ride into in your life. He wants to ride into your life and save you. Save you from what? Save you from sin. And you might say, well, okay, well, what does that mean? Well, what it means is, because you've missed the mark, you're not good enough to get to Jesus. And when I say that, don't take it personally. We all are in the same boat, all right? All of us fall short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned and fall short. We've all missed the mark. And that's why Jesus had to come into our lives. And we simply have to accept the truth that he was God, that he pays the price for our sins, and because of that, we can have eternal life. In other words, we can be restored back into relationship with him. So we can talk to him again, just like Adam and Eve did in the garden before sin came into the world, that we can openly communicate with God. So I just want to ask this, with everyone just looking at me right now, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you like to meet him? Just put your hand up in the air if there's any person here. Just let me know. Just want to make sure. I see that hand. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else? See that hand over here on my right? Anyone else? Just want to give you this opportunity. Want to make sure that everyone knows. Now, I pray I've seen all the hands. Okay, I see that hand over there on my left. Okay. Anyone else? Just want to make sure. Okay. Well, let's take a minute because this is the most important part of the whole thing, all right? I got some other things to say, but this is most important. So listen, let's say this prayer. I'm going to repeat a prayer, ask you to everyone to repeat it. But for those three that I saw, you put up your hand, and if anyone else put up your hand, God knows who you are. In fact, even those watching online, if you say this prayer and mean it with all your heart, the Bible says you can become born again. Amen. So let's pray this prayer, and let's everyone pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, today I am making a decision to follow you. I've made mistakes. I've done wrong. And I know I need you. Come into my heart right now as Lord and Savior and as my friend and guide me through this life. Until I come to heaven to see you face to face. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen, let us know you've made that decision, all right? And I know I don't do this very often, but Veronica mentioned baptism and said, hey, you should pray about it. Listen, you don't need to pray about it. The Bible says you believe and then you get baptized, all right? You don't got to pray about it. Oh, Lord, should I get baptized? No, you should get baptized, all right? There is no ifs or maybes or should or could. You need to. That's step two, all right? Now, you are saved. Anything happens, you're going straight to heaven. Baptism, though, is a step to help you to deal with this life. How many people want to deal with this life? You know what I'm saying? And so baptism is a step to grow in your faith, to be stable in your walk with Jesus. Amen? So that's all in the bulletin. You can look that up, all right? I'm just saying, you don't got to pray. In fact, if there's anyone here that's accepted Jesus as an adult and you've never been baptized, I don't care if it was 30 years ago that you accepted Jesus. You need to be baptized. May the 4th, it's going to happen. Yeah, we'll dunk them, as they say. But listen to me, life will be different. There's miracles that happen going through the baptismal waters. I can't encourage you enough to do this, all right? This isn't about me. This is for you, all right? So please make that decision. And let us know you're coming so we can make sure that we're all prepared. I think we've got 9 or 10 people already signed up. So I'm looking forward to having a wonderful time of water baptism. Okay, let's move on. And so we're going to read on a few more verses. After Jesus gets into Jerusalem, an event happens. So we're going to pick up with verse 12. So Matthew 21, beginning at verse 12. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. And they said to Jesus, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise?" Then he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, and he lodged there. So here we have Jesus. He shows up at the temple, right? And he goes psycho. It was postal, right? Starts flipping tables over. Just all kinds of things are happening. And you know, I remember reading that account as a young believer. I'm like, what the heck? You know, what is going on here? Now, as I began to research it and grow in my faith, I realized that these money changers, they were actually agents working for the Pharisees and Sadducees. It was all about commerce. It was all about making money. So you would come during the Passover week, and you'd bring your little lamb from a flock. You'd pick the best one that you had, right? And you'd bring it, and the priest would inspect it to see whether it was of good enough quality to offer to the Lord. And guess what would happen most of the time? The priest would say, "Nah, sorry, you know, it looks fine, but I just feel there's something wrong with it." And so then what you'd have to do is go and exchange it for one that has been pre-approved by the priest, all right? And so guess what? They're in the temple area, you know, out in that area. So you would take your little lamb, and they say, "Okay," and they would take it. And then they would give you another lamb. Now, this wasn't a straight exchange. What did you have to do? You had to pay for it. So in other words, there was a price that you paid, right? So you'd pay for it, and then you'd take your lamb, the new one, and you'd offer it to the Lord. And guess what happened after you left? What do you think they did with the lamb you gave them? Guess what? It got a new price sticker stuck on it, and now it's the approved one that some other person comes along with. And then you had the money changers, which are mentioned. Well, what is that all about? Well, the temple had their own money. It was you could only offer temple money to the Lord. So you'd bring your money along, whatever it was, and you'd take it to the money changers, and they would exchange it for temple money to offer to the Lord. And oh, guess what? There was a fee to do that. So can you imagine Jesus knowing all this? No wonder he went ballistic, flipping the tables over, driving them all out, saying, "Look, you've made this, you know, a place of commerce, a place of a den of thieves, and it's to be what? A house of prayer." Then here's this is the cool thing. Then it says in verse 14, it said, "Then the blind and the lame came, and he healed them." Isn't that interesting? Now, what's the connection here for you and I? Here's the way it is. Do you want Jesus to help you in different areas of your life? Do I have a few people that want that? Okay. You know, you want to bring maybe physical healing or emotional healing or restoration. You want his help, right? Okay. He may have to drive some things out of your life first. All right, you okay with that? There may be some things that have to be driven out first, because it says, then he did this. Then he healed. Then he restored. Now, the thing is, here's what you and I do, though, and I'm with you in this, all right? So when I'm not talking down at you, I am, because I'm on a stage, but I'm not talking down, I'm with you in this, all right? Here's what we want. We got something going on, whatever it might be, and here's what we do. We pray, "Lord Jesus, fix that," right? Isn't that how we pray? Lord, this is what's going on. You know, oh, this is horrible. Fix this. But then the Lord rides in and he says, okay, but we need to deal with this over here. And you're like, well, but hold it. I don't want to deal with that over here. I want to deal with this. I want you to fix this over here. And the Lord says, yeah, but we got to fix this first. We need to deal with this first before we can fix that over there. You see, I'm going to make a statement and then I'll explain it. If we have wrong theology, it will lead to wrong thinking, and wrong thinking will lead to disappointments. So what does that mean? It means that if we don't understand the word of the Lord, if we don't understand what God is saying to us, and we keep wanting to do our own thing, then here's what happens. Our thinking is wrong. And because our thinking is wrong, we're going to be filled with disappointments. Life will be one disappointment after another because we're wanting God to fix this over here, and he's speaking to us through his word and speaking to us by his spirit, and he's saying, but we got to do something over here first. See, often we're not being healed, we're not being restored, not because of whatever we think the problem is, but because of something way over here somewhere. And are we willing to let the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who knows what he's doing, he has impeccable timing, he knows what you need at that moment, to let him do what he wants to do? Yes or no? Do you want him? Because if you're willing to, then you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's how it works. How many people want to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? Okay, then that means our thinking needs to be adjusted. All right, that's just the way it is. And so as we look at this, he brought healing and restoration after things were driven out. Anyone here need some things driven out? You know, my hand's up. Now here's the thing. If some of you didn't put up your hand, I'd be like, whoa, you got a spirit of pride that needs driven out then. Because everyone in our lives, none of us think perfectly. I say that of myself as well. And so let me just ask again to make sure everyone's actually listening. How many people need something driven out of their lives? Yeah, you thought I was going to like jump down and start casting out devils, right? And you were scared. But I'm just making the point that there are times where we have things, wrong thinking, wrong attitudes, wrong something that needs to be pushed out of our lives so we can experience the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Okay. I just want to leave you with three quick points. I've got a wire that must be getting bad. Let me tighten this up. Maybe it's me. There we go. We'll see. Okay. When Jesus rides in, I want to leave you with these three points, all right? And this is for us today, all right? When Jesus rides in, there is great joy. In Luke 19, verse 37 and 38, it says, when Jesus came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Listen to me. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there's joy that rises up in your heart. When you allow Jesus to cast out things in your life, there's joy that comes into your life. Listen, even in trials and tribulations, there can be joy in your life if you keep your eyes on him. Amen? So joy is a side benefit of letting Jesus come into your circumstances and situations. And this isn't just for salvation. It's for everything going on in your life right now. So just take just even a moment right now. What's going on in your life right now? Have you let Jesus ride into that circumstance right now? And if you haven't, invite him in. See, one thing about Jesus, he won't force his way in. Remember, he's riding a donkey. He's not riding a racehorse, all right? You know what I mean? The donkey's a little bit shy, all right? So you've got to invite him for him to come and be a part of whatever's going on. Okay, great joy. The next one is this. And you won't like this one. There's great turmoil. John 12, verses 14 to 16. Jesus found a young donkey, rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey's colt. His disciples didn't understand at the time that this was a fulfillment of prophecy. But after Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered what had happened and realized that these things had been written about him. So why am I bringing this up? Okay. The disciples, those closest to him, even though he had told them over and over again, this is what's going to happen, they didn't get it. They didn't understand. When Jesus comes into some of your circumstances, you're not going to get it. When he turns the tables over and everything gets all messed up and you're like, Jesus, you're supposed to make things better. I feel worse right now. Anybody been there? Yeah, thank you for your honesty. But here's the thing. You feel worse and then you get better. You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, you go to the dentist, right? And, you know, and then they do their thing. And what about when they miss and they don't get the Novocaine where it needs to go? That hurts, right? Like, it's horrible. And you're like, why am I subjecting myself to this? But here's the thing. They deal with whatever they need to deal with. And a week later, you're not even thinking about that tooth anymore. And it's the same with Jesus. If you will let him in and do the surgery, so to speak, whatever needs to be done, all right, turn this on or off or fix his way of thinking, then what happens is, though it's painful in the moment, you'll come out the other side the better for it. So that's why I say when he rides in, there's turmoil. And you might not like it, you know, that trial, that tribulation, but it's for your good. Can you believe that? See, here's the problem. We don't always believe it. We're like, oh, God, why are you doing this to me? That's the first thing that comes to some people's hearts. No, don't do that. Stop doing that. You're putting God on the other side then. You're putting him, you know, as the devil. You're putting him as the one who is opposing you. No, he's on your side. He's for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? And that's why you got to put Jesus on your side. So whatever you're facing, you can say, Lord, you will help me through this. Amen? So turmoil can be okay because Jesus is in the midst of it. Amen? Okay. Final one is this. When Jesus rides in, there is great opportunity. Luke 19, verses 41 and 42. As he, Jesus, approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. So Jesus, you know, he wept with Lazarus. He probably wept other times. But literally in this account, he's weeping over Jerusalem. So as people are praising his name, as they're shouting, Jesus, save us, and they're thronging around him, he looks beyond them to the city, to the hundreds of thousands that are just going about life. And he says, if you'd only known about me visiting today. We live in a world full of people who are just doing life. They're not in church this morning. They're just doing whatever they're doing. They're using Sunday morning as their makeup time, you know, to make up for something they needed to do during the week. And basically not giving any care or regard for God at all. And this is Jesus weeping over them. Saying, look it, I gave my life. You know, he's going to give his life then. But now we can look back. He gave his life for them as well. Do you know that God loves everybody the same as he loves people in the church? Amen. Exactly the same. The only difference between us and them is that we responded to his love and we said yes. And so there's opportunities. When Jesus rides in, there's opportunities, first of all, to know him as Lord and Savior, like what happened this morning with the three people or more that I saw here. And also, though, that there's opportunities all through your Christian life as well. Do you think God just drops you off after he saves you and says, okay, you're on your own again? No. He walks with you every single day. And so he wants to fellowship with you and commune with you and help you in your daily walk of life. That's what he wants to do with you. And so the world, let me tell you something. Every single day there's opportunities with Jesus. And there might be some big opportunities some days. And other days what you might see is something small. But you know, I have found, you know, I was in the business world for a lot of years in my earlier life. And the thing is, some of these insignificant opportunity God moments turned into some of the biggest things in my life. So don't look at it and judge big, little, all that. Just look and believe for the opportunities that God has for you. He wants to ride in and move in your life in ways you couldn't ever imagine. Amen. All right, let's stand together. We're almost finished here this morning. So I'm going to ask you a question. And not everyone is going to respond. This is one of those ones that the right answer isn't everybody putting up their hand, all right? This is just, what's God saying to you right now? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? In the time that I was sharing with you, or in the time of worship, did God bring a situation or circumstance up in your heart that you need to let Jesus ride into? In other words, that this is something that you got going on, and you're trying, you're doing it, you're doing your thing, but you're not really letting Jesus ride into it, to participate in it and be a part of it. And if that's you, just slip your hand up in the air. That's all I'm asking you to do. All right. Okay, keep that hand up. I didn't ask you to close your eyes, so everybody keep your eyes open so you can. Okay, see all those hands raised? Okay, so here's what's going to happen now. If you're near a person that has their hand raised, just go near them. Just put your hand on their shoulder, okay? And we're going to pray for every person that has their hands raised, all right? Just take a moment. Any hand raised. Keep your hand up, please. Keep your hand up. We want to make sure that no one misses out on getting prayer. I want to make sure everyone, we got this at the first service. Didn't lose anybody then. We don't want to lose anybody today. I see one person here, right here. No one is. One person right here in front of me, where I'm looking, right here. I need somebody to come and just, so if there's two or three people around, okay, yep, beautiful. All right, just want to make sure everyone is covered. So Father, right now, you see these hands raised. You see these individuals here. You see all the others just laying hands on each person. And they're saying, Jesus, I need you. I need you to come into this situation, this circumstance. Some, Lord, are dealing with financial issues. Some in relationships. Some dealing with job circumstances. Lord, all kinds of different situations that they need you to come in. Some are dealing with mental illness issues, internal issues, health issues. Lord God, you know exactly what every person needs right here, right now. And so, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I pray that you touch and you meet those needs. And Lord, if that means that they have to maybe do something that seems to them unrelated to the circumstance, then Lord God, that they would just in obedience do it and see that they would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living in that very circumstance. So, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, just touch those that they would just receive from you in the Spirit. That, Lord God, they would be strengthened and encouraged in their walk with you. That, Lord, even as they leave this building, as they leave this place, they would have a sense of your presence at a level they haven't had before. Father, we just thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. God bless you this morning.